नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नारं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, titled The Residents of Jambudvipa Offer Prayers, Text 21. यातस्यते पादसरोरुहारहनम् निकामयेत् सकिल कामलम्पटा तदेव रासीप्सितम् ईप्सितोर्चितो यद्भाग्नयाच्ना भगवन् प्रतप्यते। यातस्यते पादसरोरुहारहनम् निकामयेत् सा किल कामलम्पटा तदेव रसीप्सितम् ईप्सितोर्चितो यद्भग्नयच्ना भगवन् प्रतप्यते। यातस्य ते पादसरोरुहारहनम् निकामयेत् सा किल कामलम्पटा तदेव रसीप्सितम् ईप्सितोर्चितो यद्भग्नयाच्न भगवान् प्रतप्यते। यातस्य ते पादसरोरुहारहनम् निकामये चाकिल कामलम्पटा तदेव रसीप्सितम् ईप्सितो रचितो यद्भग्नयाच्न भगवान् प्रतप्यते। सकिल कामलम्पटा तदेव रसीप्सितम् ईप्सितौ रचितो यद्भाग्नयाच्ना भगवन् प्रतप्यते। तस्य ते पादसरोरुहारहनम् निकामयेत् स किल कामलम्पटा तदेव रसीप्सितम् ईप्सितौ रचितो यद्भाग्नयाच्ना भगवन् प्रतप्यते। यतस्य ते पादसरोरुहारहनम् मयेत् सा किल कामलम्पटा तदेव रसीप्सितम् ईप्सितोर्चितो यद्भाग्नयाच्ना भगवन् प्रतप्यते। Matijis. Yatasya te pada sarorurharanam Nikama e chakila kama lampatam Tadevara sipsita mipsito rachito Yat bhadna rachna bhagavan pratapyate Ya, a woman who, tasya, of him, te, of you, pada saroruha, of the lotus feet, arhanam, the worship, nikamayet, fully desires, sa, such a woman, akila kama lampata, although maintaining all kinds of material desire, tat that, eva, only, rasi, you award, ipsitam, some other desired benediction, Ipsitaha, being looked to for. Architaha, worshipped. Yat, from which. Bhagna yachna, one who desires objects other than your lotus feet. And who thus becomes broken. Bhagavan, O my Lord, pratapyate is pain. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, my dear Lord, you automatically fulfill all the desires of a woman who worships your lotus feet in pure love. However, if a woman worships your lotus feet for a particular purpose, you also quickly fulfill her desires. But in the end, she becomes broken-hearted and laments. Therefore, one need not worship your lotus feet for some material benefit. Purport. Srila Rupa Goswami describes pure devotional service as Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. One should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead to fulfill some material desire for success in fruitive activities or mental speculation. To serve the lotus feet of the Lord means to serve Him exactly as He desires. The neophyte devotee is therefore ordered to worship the Lord strictly according to the regulative principles given by the spiritual master and the Shastras. By executing devotional service in that way, he gradually becomes attached to Krishna, and when his original dormant love for the Lord becomes manifest, he spontaneously serves the Lord without any motive. This condition is the perfect stage of one's relationship with the Lord. The Lord then looks after the comfort and security of His devotee without being asked. Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita 9:22, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janaha paryupasate Tesham Nityabhyuktanam Yogakshemam Vahamyaham. The Supreme Lord personally takes care of anyone who is completely engaged in His devotional service. Whatever he has, the Lord protects, and whatever he needs, the Lord supplies. Therefore, why should one bother the Lord for something material? Such prayers are unnecessary. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that even if a devotee wishes the Lord to fulfill a particular desire, the devotee should not be considered a Sakama Bhakta, a devotee with some motive. In Bhagavad Gita 7:16, Krishna says, Chaturvida bhajante imam jana sukrito arjuna, sukritino arjuna, arto jigyasur artahi, artati jnanicha bharatarshabaha. O best among the Bharatas, Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the absolute. The Artha and the Arthati, who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for relief from misery or for some money, are not Sakama Bhaktas, although they appear to be. Being neophyte devotees, they are simply ignorant. Later in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Udara Sarva Evaite, they are all magnanimous, Udaraha. Although in the beginning a devotee may harbor some desire, in due course of time it will vanish. Therefore the Srimad Bhagavatam enjoins, Akama Sarva Kamova Mokshakama Udaradihi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he is full of all material desires, is free from material desire, or has a desire for liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 10. Even if one wants something material, he should pray to no one but the Lord to fulfill his desire. If one approaches a demigod for the fulfillment of his desires, he is to be considered Nashta Buddhi, bereft of all good sense. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:20, Kamaistair tair ritajnanaha prapadyante anya devataha tam tam niyamam asthaya prakritya anyata swaya. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Lakshmi Devi addresses all devotees who approach the Lord with material desires that according to her practical experience, the Lord is Kamadeva, and thus there is no need to ask him for anything material. She says that everyone should simply serve the Lord without any motive. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sitting in everyone's heart, he knows everyone's thoughts, and in due course of time, he will fulfill all desires. Therefore, let us completely depend on the service of the Lord without bothering him with our material requests. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport. Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana shlakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupagadamahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shiyuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam saganaragunatanvitam tamsachivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana saitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan saganaralita shri vishakanvitamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swamiti Namine Namacharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gorakata Dhamadaya Nagara Grama Tharine Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Parana Dhanadase Iti Namine Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langay tegirim yat kripatamaham bande shri gurudantarinam yat kripatamaham bande paramanandamadamam shri chaitanya ishvaram katanchana smrite yasmin dushkaram sukaram bhavet vismrite vipritam syat shri chaitanyam namamitam. Translation, my dear Lord, you automatically fulfill all the desires of a woman who worships your lotus feet in pure love. However, if a woman worships your lotus feet for a particular purpose, you also quickly fulfill her desires. But in the end, she becomes broken-hearted and laments. Therefore, one need not worship your lotus feet for some material benefit. So, we're continuing with these beautiful prayers offered by Lakshmi Devi to the Supreme Lord. And this is a very, text 21 has a very elaborate purport with by Srila Prabhupada. And it's a very detailed purport. And it may take several classes to examine this purport in detail, to explain this purport in detail. So, after reading the purport, when I was thinking of how to speak on this verse and how to finish it in 45 minutes, Krishna was kind to Yogakshema Vahamyaham, so he gave me the intelligence to approach it from Prabhupada's preface to teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So there, in the preface to teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada explains that Lord Krishna's final instruction, the ultimate instruction of the Lord, is Sarva Dharman Paritejya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshasyami Masuchaha. So his final instruction is complete surrender unto him. And Prabhupada explains that that's Krishna's instruction, and Lord Chaitanya's teachings are practical demonstrations of that instruction. So here, Prabhupada begins the purport with Rupa Goswami's Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam, the description of pure devotional service. So this is the description of a completely surrendered soul. And Prabhupada goes on to explain that when one becomes completely surrendered, Krishna promises to take immediate charge of such a devotee. Notice the word immediate charge. So the moment a devotee desires to completely, any soul who desires to completely surrender unto the Lord, so Krishna desires to take immediate charge of such a devotee. And then Prabhupada explains that Krishna anyway takes charge of all people in the world in his plenary expansion as Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu. Through his agents, he anyway takes care of all the living entities. So what does it mean Krishna immediately takes charge? Prabhupada explains, Krishna personally takes charge for his surrendered souls. And what is the definition, what is the meaning of being surrendered? Because we often hear that word surrendered, but the word surrender has been precisely defined by our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. So there are six items of in the process of surrender. The first is to accept things favorable for the discharge of devotional service. The second is to reject things unfavorable for the discharge of devotional service. The third thing is to have complete faith in the protection of the Lord. The fourth element is to completely be dependent on the mercy of the Lord. The fifth element is to have no desires other than the desires of the Lord. And the sixth element is to always feel meek and humble. So, these six elements constitute what is surrender. So if you have to understand what is Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukuliyena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Ruchate, then we have to look at these six elements. So they constitute an explanation of that Anyabhilashita Shunyam verse. And the best example of this, as Prabhupada explains, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us pure devotional service, came to show us how to practice what Krishna has taught. So he is the perfect example of what it means to be a surrendered soul. In the year 1919, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Chakur wrote an article in the Sajjana Toshini. There he uses the expression Vishwa Vaishnava Rajasabha, and there he explains what it means. There he says that Sri Chaitanya Deva is Krishna himself, and he says he is the king of all the Vaishnavas in the world. Vishwa Vaishnava Raja. Vishwa means the world, Vaishnava means, we know, the devotee, and Raja means the king. So Lord Chaitanya is the king of all the Vaishnavas in the world. And Vishwa Vaishnava Raja Sabha means a gathering of the devotees of the king of the Vaishnavas. So this is originally a phrase that is used by Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha, referring to the assembly of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tried to re-establish this Vishwa Vaishnava Raja Sabha, the assembly of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king of the Vaishnavas. And Srila Prabhupada actually manifested it across the world in the form of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the modern day manifestation of what is originally conceived as the Vishwa Vaishnava Raja Sabha. So Lord Chaitanya is our ideal. He is our king, and we are all his followers. And Mayapur is the capital of the king. And from Mayapur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expands his kingdom. So Prabhupada, in two different letters, once to Vamanadev and another letter to Balimardhan Prabhu, he encourages them, and he says, just like your forefathers, the Americans and the Europeans, they colonized the whole world. So Prabhupada explains, so similarly, preach in Australia and colonize Australia. And Prabhupada says, this is colonization of Sankirtana. Colonization through Sankirtana in Krishna consciousness. So the king of Mayapur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, expands his kingdom by colonization, by the efforts of his devotees. And we take it by the efforts of the devotees in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, Lord Chaitanya's life is the perfect example of what it means to be a surrendered soul. Now, in this particular, so we can say, okay, Lord Chaitanya is the perfect example of a surrendered soul, but majority of people in this world may be struggling to be a completely surrendered soul. So what does it mean when Krishna says he immediately takes charge of his devotee? He takes personal charge. So does he take personal charge of only the completely surrendered souls, the premi bhaktas? Does he also take care of others who are trying to be completely surrendered? So once I was in the Middle East a couple of years ago, and one devotee said that, do you mean to say that Krishna is going to personally carry your baggage and all these different things? I mean, do you mean to say that's the explanation of the... I was explaining that Krishna actually personally takes charge, in a class, and afterwards in the question and answer session, this devotee brought up this point. And I said, well, Krishna actually personally takes charge, and I explained it in different ways. But still, he was not convinced that, he said that actually applies only to the fully surrendered souls, not to those who are practicing. I was not convinced because none of the acharyas or Prabhupada have explained it like that. That he does it only for the pure devotees, only for the completely surrendered, on the level of prema bhaktas. So then I clarified this with Gopi Parandan Prabhu, and he said, no, Krishna takes charge for all his, takes personal charge of all his devotees. And then I asked, but we don't see Krishna personally doing different things for us. So what does it mean when Krishna says he personally takes charge? And he said, Krishna takes charge personally through his yoga maya. So then I said, but Prabhupada explained that Krishna doesn't take charge through his energy. And but if you look at it carefully, what Prabhupada actually says is that he does not take charge through his external energy. But the yoga maya is his internal energy. So Krishna takes care of his devotees through his internal energy. Still, how does that make a difference? There is a big difference. Let me give an example. A few days ago, I was reading the Economic Times newspaper. There I read that President Obama of United States is the most popular leader in the world. He has about 43 million followers on Twitter. He's extremely popular. And he's about 40 or some million likes on Facebook. So, let's say somebody who lives in America. Now the government of America, President Obama is protecting all the citizens of America. He's taking charge of all the citizens of America through the government of America. But suppose he desires, if he writes an invitation to somebody, you please come and be my guest. He personally takes charge there. Of course, you may not expect that he may drive you personally from your home to the palace, to the White House. He may not do these different things, but he may also do it. But that's his choice. But he has his personal team of people who take care of you, and he also interacts with you. But of course, this is a crude example. President Obama is ultimately a mortal. So even if you're a presidential guest, you may still have some complaints. But Krishna is not like that. When Krishna takes charge as his guest, when we surrender, when we start the surrendering process, he takes some proper care. We'll be more happy, we'll get more than what he desires, what we desire. So he's not like an ordinary mortal. So he takes charge. Personally, he personally arranges for your care. He may even, for example, Krishna drove the chariot of Arjuna. Now Arjuna was such an exalted devotee, so if Krishna wants, he can do this for you, provided you are very exalted. But even if you are not, even if he doesn't do things like that, which you can tangibly see with your eyes, still he is personally taking charge. Just like president's guest, he may not do everything directly like that. He may not do everything personally, but he's taking direct charge. So that is the meaning of taking direct charge. You are a guest of the Supreme Lord. You are personally under his care. Just like the general citizens of America, they are under the care of the president also, but they are under the general care. But those who are his guests are under his personal care. So when we begin the surrendering process, the moment we decide, yes, in this lifetime, I want to be completely surrendered. So the moment we desire this and we become determined, okay, I want to do this, Krishna, please help me. Then he immediately takes charge. And when one has such a mood, then one does not have to depend on others. It's foolishness to depend on somebody else. Of course, even if otherwise, it's foolishness to depend. But what I meant to say is that, for example, one of the most recently, Sri Radha Govinda Mataji gave a class, and last week she spoke to me about how different devotees have come to her and they're so much disturbed because there are some bad planetary combinations in their chart, so they think their married life will be problematic, this will be problematic. So they're quite disturbed by these different things. Of course, now it's 8:25 and in another 20 minutes it's supposed to be, Jupiter is supposed to be, for the next 1 year, Jupiter is considered a very good planet and is supposed to be exalted in its most powerful position for the next 1 year. I mean, just this is just a point of information, just a side information. So maybe people may be happy in different parts of India thinking that the next 1 year is going to be some or the other auspicious. Of course, the point is that devotees who do not have a clear understanding of what it means when Krishna personally takes charge, only those devotees get disturbed by these different astrological situations. Because when Krishna takes, when Krishna says he takes charge, he actually takes charge, which means even if you are not on the level of prema bhakti, it is Krishna who desires to give you what you deserve. Krishna who desires to arrange what happens to you. So one of the elements of being surrendered means we don't depend on demigods, we don't depend on astrology, we don't depend on any of these things to progress in devotional service. We are simply dependent on the mercy of the Lord. We know that the Lord is taking care. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, and Baladeva Vidya Bhushan also explains, that just like in the traditional families, it is the man who used to work. And the women in the family, the children in the family, they don't have to think anything whatsoever. How are they going to be maintained? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And a competent husband would simply maintain them. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explained, Krishna is very competent. He can maintain hundreds and thousands of universes, millions of universes. So why he cannot maintain his devotee? So just like a man takes care of his whole family by working, and so that the wife and the children don't have to think anything about their maintenance, Krishna simply maintains them. So, the husband simply maintains them. Similarly, the devotees don't have to think about their, about what are they going to do, whether they have to, I mean, look at astrology, do something like this, or look at, consult a psychologist to do this, or consult a demigod, or pray to a demigod. No, they don't have to think about all these things. The Lord is already taking care of the devotees. So we should have this faith. Now, the question may be asked that, okay, what about our material desires? The moment we take to the process of Krishna consciousness, we are not immediately free from our material desires. So what do we do? So Lakshmi Devi advises us, don't pray to the Lord to fulfill any material desire. Simply depend on the Lord, practice devotional service. Whatever you need, Krishna will fulfill. But Prabhupada also explains that even if one is not able to do that, still one should depend on the Supreme Lord. And then there is something very interesting. Prabhupada quotes Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and says, such a devotee is not to be considered as a Sakama Bhakta. So what does that mean? Because generally our understanding is, the moment you have a material desire, you immediately fall into the category of Sakama Bhakti. Means you have some material desire. You're not eligible for pure devotional service. In fact, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur himself, in his commentary on 7:16 Bhagavad Gita, he says that these four types of people, the four types of people who surrender, Chaturvidha Bhajante Maam, they are Sakama Bhaktas. But in this purport, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says they are not Sakama Bhaktas. And interestingly, later in the same purport, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says they are Sakama Bhaktas. But so he says they're not, first in the Bhagavad Gita purport he says they're Sakama Bhaktas. In this purport, in the beginning he says they're not Sakama Bhaktas. Later he says they are Sakama Bhaktas. In fact, he gives a very elaborate explanation, and Prabhupada paraphrases it for us here. He says that even though they appear to be, they are not devotees. So how do we, they are not Sakama Bhaktas. So how do we understand this? There are two things. What does actually Sakama Bhakti mean? Sakama Bhakti means you are primarily interested in the fulfillment of your material desire, not in the progress of devotional service. So for the sake of your material desire, for the sake of fulfilling your material desire, you may hamper your process of devotional service. That is the actual meaning of Sakama Bhakti, which means you are so attached to your material desire, for the sake of fulfilling those material desire, you will hamper your progress in devotional service. So that is technically the definition of Sakama Bhakti. But why does Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also says that those who are practicing devotional service, if they have approached the Lord with a material desire, that's also Sakama Bhakti. From the higher platform, it is a relative thing. From the higher platform, he's describing it as Sakama Bhakti. But if you look at the actual technical definition of Sakama Bhakti, you are somebody who is so overwhelmed with material desires, for the sake of material desires, if you can compromise the process of devotional service, such a person is called a Sakama Bhakta. But if one has a material desires, but if one is not willing to compromise that process of devotional service, if one is not willing to compromise that process of devotional service, and if one is approaching only the Supreme Lord, so there are two things. One is not willing to compromise the process of devotional service, and one is willing to approach the Supreme Lord. Even if he is praying to fulfill the material, still he is approaching only the Supreme Lord. So the two things simultaneously have to be looked at, that the devotee is interested in progressing in devotional service and he's only approaching the Supreme Lord. So from that perspective, it is not to be considered as Sakama Bhakti, because he's not compromising the process of devotional service. So that's what Prabhupada means when he explains that he's quoting Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, such a person is not to be considered Sakama Bhakta, although he appears to be. So at all stages of our life, the best process for us is to exclusively depend on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and the Lord will take care. And Prabhupada gives the example of Arjunacharya from South India. So many of you may know this story. When he was reading the Yogakshemam Vahamyaham verse, he thought that this was an exaggeration. So he struck off the words, I personally carry, he struck off those words. And then he went to take his bath in the river. And meanwhile, two boys appeared at his home, and they are carrying huge loads of foodstuffs. And they had some bruise marks on their back. And these boys came and told the wife of Arjunacharya that your husband has sent us to give you these foodstuffs. Your husband has sent us with all this heavy load to give you this, your food. So then the wife was very surprised, and she also noticed that there were bruise marks on the body of the two young boys. So then she said, my husband is not so cruel. Why would he send you such a big load of foodstuff? And what are these marks on your back? And then the boy said that your husband beat us, and these are the marks by his beating. So then she was very confused. And then, but however, since they had brought this, they accepted the foodstuff. She accepted the foodstuffs. And later on, when Arjunacharya came home, he was very surprised to see all this foodstuff. And so he asked his wife, where did these foodstuffs manifest from? And so she explained the whole story. And she said, you should not have been so cruel. Why did you beat these boys and send them with such a huge load of foodstuffs? They're small boys. How can they carry such a big load? And why did you beat them? They're such small boys. So immediately, Arjunacharya understood that because he struck off those words which it says, I personally deliver. So when he struck off, that hurt the Lord. So there were Krishna and Balaram who came to deliver the goods. So they had bruise marks because what he struck off in this book appeared as marks on their back. And so Prabhupada gives that as a classic example that Krishna actually is serious when he says Yogakshema Mahamyam. He actually takes care of the personal needs of his devotees. And he also gives the example of Bilva Mangal Thakur. And he says, that Billvamangal Thakur was blind, but Krishna would come and provide him milk every day. And in that, Prabhupada actually explains, the whole point is, Krishna delivers, you don't have to go out and do all kinds of things. Krishna personally comes and delivers. So, later on, in a conversation with his disciples, it's a very interesting conversation. So Prabhupada says, when you talk like this to common people, so common people may think, what kind of fellows are these? Very impractical fellows. They are saying that Krishna will come and give us and that's how we live. What kind of impractical thing is this? And then Prabhupada says, just look at our temples. What are we doing? We are simply chanting the holy names, distributing books. And Krishna is sending everything. Everything. We don't have any problem. We have temples, we have sumptuous prasadam in our temples, we have cars, we have farms, we have everything. Prabhupada said, just see, what are you doing? You're just chanting his names. You're just spreading the Krishna consciousness, distributing books. Just see what Krishna is doing. This is practical. So you just work for Krishna and Krishna will take care. And so what does mean? What does it mean work for Krishna? And Prabhupada, so then the devotees, they bring up different arguments. So Prabhupada, when you say, does it mean we just have to simply sit and Krishna will send everything? So Prabhupada says, no, you work for Krishna. I mean, you chant, work for Krishna. So then the devotee says, what does work for Krishna mean? Then Prabhupada explains that further. And he says that just like when somebody is working in a factory or in the industry or he has a business, whatever, when he's working, he's thinking of his family. He's thinking of his wife and family. He's thinking, because all that work he's doing is simply to give pleasure. To give pleasure and derive pleasure from family and children. So when he's working, he's thinking of his family. So working for Krishna means, when you're working, you're thinking of Krishna. Prabhupada says, very simple. So this is the actual test. When we say working for Krishna, when we're working, what are we thinking of? Am I going to work so that I become powerful, so that I am the provider, I am the maintainer? I am the maintainer of my family, I am the provider of my family. What is our mood? It is what is our mood which determines whom are we working for. So we can work in a factory or we can do any work. So Prabhupada says, does not mean you don't work. You work, but you work for Krishna. Which means when you're working, you have to think how this work is going to give pleasure to Krishna. It's like normally we are used to thinking how this work is going to give pleasure to my family, me. So we have to learn to think in terms of how this work is going to give pleasure to Krishna and his devotees. So that is what it means working for Krishna. So we don't have to worry. Okay, we are working for Krishna. Will it be sufficient or will Krishna give me, little bit short, maybe he'll give 80%, 20% may be a struggle. So all these different things, that's not what it is. We don't have to get into all these analytical calculations. For the 20%, maybe I can do some astrological remedy. It's not like that. We simply have to exclusively depend on Krishna. We just have to work, exclusively depend on him, and he will provide. So it is not that only a premi bhakta he provides. He provides anybody who's serious about this process of surrender. So I think that's the best I could do to make it as short as possible. And I think we just have 5 more minutes. So if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Praji.
I was wondering if you could say anything about that statement in the verse where he says if a person or if a lady or comes to him and worships him for a specific material desire, he quickly fulfills that material desire, but then in the end it breaks the heart. Sounds like a little bit of a trick to my ears. Could you maybe explain it a little bit?
Yeah, this has been explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary. He explains what that means. He means when Krishna gives you fulfills your material desire, because you are attached to that material desire, anything that is material is temporary. So it is not going to last for long. So when it is taken away, eventually it is not going to last, it's going to be taken away. When that happens, then you become broken hearted and you lament, because you're so attached to that material desire. So that's what it means. So that's his explanation.
Yes, Pooja.
When we are surrendering, especially you quote astrology, especially in many Vedic verses like astrology, yogic, Ashtanga Yoga, and Ayurveda, even Bharatanatyam, it's all written by Veda, means many sages like Dhanvantari is the incarnation of Vishnu, Patanjali incarnation of Vishnu, Bharatamuni, it's all came by sages. So it's all expansion of also Krishna. That is clear. It's an expansion of the Krishna, and it's a setup. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur also written, Surya Siddhanta.
Yeah.
Also, it's clear Surya is our whole daily life. So it means if we don't, because we are staying in the material nature, normally fully material, it's Kali Yuga. We are fully under the Kali. But Veda is not under the Kali, it's a knowledge.
Yes.
So when we practice Bhakti, especially when we practice Krishna, we are under the expansion of Krishna. Means we have to take care of the cautions of astrological. If we sick, we have to go to Ayurveda, we have to go to nature, we have to practice Dhanvantari, because it's an expansion of Krishna. So these are things we have to adopt or not. It is necessary for our society or devotees. That is my question.
Okay. I think it's a very good question. You adopt some elements of astrology is not harmful, but to be dependent on it is what is harmful. Adopt means, for example, let's say, okay, I was just saying that I think now it must be already, the Jupiter must have already reached it. I think it's supposed to be 837 or something. It's already 842. So let's say now the Jupiter is in its exalted position. Okay, so for some people that's going to give very good health. Let's say from your chart, you see that you're going to get very good health. So what should be your meditation? I'm going to get very good high health. So let me chant the names of the Lord very intensely during the next 1 year. At least I have some promise of good health. So you're using that information for favorable discharge of devotional service. Right? So let's say the converse is true. Let's say some planet is in its debilitation. Let's like somebody wrote to Prabhupada that I'm going through Rahu phase. So I'm going through some difficulty. So Prabhupada says that Krishna can kick 1,000,000 Rahu planets with one stroke of his kick. So let's say we're going through some difficult phase. Again, we can use that to surrender to Krishna, no? We can say that, okay, I'm going through a difficult phase. I better be properly Krishna conscious. Otherwise, I'm going to wobble and I may get distracted. So adopting astrology is not the problem. To be dependent on astrology is the problem. Right? Like for example, we had like sometimes people criticize the TOVP. The deities are going to face south, this is against Vastu, all these different things, right? But it took so many years of struggle to even get permission to build this temple. So Krishna is absolute. So if he wants, he can correct anything, it doesn't matter. He's personally going to sit there. So how does it matter? So, but if we had the opportunity, okay, we could have done it. But if you don't have the opportunity, you're still supposed to do the right thing. Not that we keep on waiting. It is the desire of the Acharya that we have to manifest it as quickly as possible. So in the best possible way that we can, we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should be favorable. It should be adopted in a means manner that's favorable. I'll give you another example. Okay, but this is something which I've seen in my own life. When I was new to Krishna consciousness, the temple president told me, there's one devotee in the temple who was supposed to get married. Okay, so now, it is 24 years. And I think he got married about more than 30 years ago. Okay, so when this devotee was going to get married, not the temple president, the other devotee, there is an astrologer who said that very reliable, very renowned astrologer who said, look, if you conduct the marriage on this day, at this time, one of them is going to die. There is going to be death, or maybe both will die. I don't remember what, but there's going to be death. Okay? So the temple president told this devotee that, look, the astrologer has said like this, but your spiritual master is personally going to sit in that yajna. He is the representative of the 33 crore demigods. So don't worry about all this astrological prediction. Just go ahead and get married. Because if he's present, then there's nothing. What is there to worry about all these things? So 30 years now, nobody has died. So that is the point that I was trying to make, that we don't become dependent. But if there's an opportunity, fine. Why? I mean, after all, these are all, coming from Krishna, as you say. Okay, if there's some opportunity, fine, use it. But never use astrology to impede, I mean, to delay or obstruct the progress of devotional service. Right? Yeah. Predictions. Okay. Kali Yuga. You can hold the mic so others can hear. Can turn on the mic? Yes. Yeah. Astrology is a science, yes. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Nobody practices astrology. Look, his point is that even in the predictions, since it's Kali Yuga, nobody practices astrology properly. Prabhupada said that Kali Yuga, Prabhupada's spiritual master is own astrologer. He himself was an astrologer. But he gave it up. Of course, for not only because it is imperfect in Kali Yuga, but for other reasons also, that he gave it up. The point again I'm trying to say is that we have to see what is beneficial. For example, Prabhupada was not very fond of traveling on Thursday evenings, Thursday afternoon. They say Thursday afternoon is not very... Prabhupada is not very fond of traveling, but if need to be, he gave the example of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. What he would do is he would take his bag and footwear and put it outside in the morning, and he would travel in the afternoon. So we have to see. Ultimately, the point is that none of these elements should distract us from the practice of pure devotional service. It should not. Ahaituki apratihata. Ahaituki means costless. Apratihata means unbroken. So you cannot have a series of breaks, astrology break, psychology break, different breaks. So we have to have one continuous process of Krishna consciousness. That is what I meant to say. It should not become an obstacle, but whatever is favorable can be used. In fact, it should be used. That is the principle of what's a Yukta Vairagya. Yes, really. Give up restriction and take up enjoyment. Yeah.
That is the basic nature of people. So anything which engage material
has to, and
you work this, that you tend to give up what is the most important part of it and adopt the trivial part of it. So that's the nature. So when we approach astrology also, normally it is seen that devotees give up the most important part of it, which is that the devotional service is not dependent on astrology, and take up the trivial part of it, saying that, you know, they are dependent on Rahu, Ketu, etc., etc. So unless one is very clear or very strong or very intelligent as to how to use astrology or adopt astrology for the purpose of Krishna consciousness, better to stay away from
it. Yes, that's a very good point, that generally we have this tendency that we forget the main thing, we go to the peripheral things. And in fact, this astrology is useful for one category of people, however, very important, for the Sakama Bhaktas. Because their process of devotion service itself will get disturbed if their material desires are not fulfilled. For them, astrology, all these things make a lot of significance. But those who are in the surrendering process, seriously, for them it doesn't make, it's not an important element. In fact, I'll give another example of another story. 2 years ago, there is one devotee who wanted to get married. And so he was asking me, we had a small fight on that issue, because he was trying to look at the most astrologically precise moment by which he could. Marriage was in a Gaudiya Vaishnava temple, ancient temple, established by the Goswamis, by the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the question was, okay, he said, look, I'm getting married in a Gaudiya Vaishnava temple. So why are you objecting that I'm looking at astrology? I said, I don't have a problem if you look at astrology. It's not astrology that I'm, but by virtue of looking at it, because there are two options. One option was there could be a group of 60 devotees who could attend that wedding. And the other option is there could be a group of only 10 devotees who can attend that wedding. The 10 devotees who can attend that wedding happens during the auspicious, so-called astrologically auspicious time. And when the 60 devotees can attend that wedding, happens to be at a so-called inauspicious time. So I said, you should go for that time when 60 devotees can attend. Because by the presence of their, that's how we think in Krishna consciousness. It is not that, okay, we are trying to make some or the other adjust so that everything is, we are trying to fine-tune astrology. 10 devotees, okay, that's good enough. No, isn't it? Ultimately, devotees are there. It's not just a formality. Okay, the Lord is there. 10 devotees I could manage. And I mean, astrologically I manage. So this is a great success. That is not the success. Success is the 60 devotees had come. Because the Lord is personally there. As Prabhupada says, Krishna can kick hundreds of Rahu planets. By the fact that you have invited 60 devotees, Krishna may kick away that inauspicious time. That's how we have to think. So this is another misuse of astrology. That in the name of astrology, you're trying to somehow or the other fit in astrology into the picture. You're not somehow seeing the pleasure of the Lord. What will please the Lord? You're somehow they're trying to fit in. So there you have devotees, you have deities, and you're trying to fit in astrology. Astrology is the main parameter there. So this is again a misuse of astrology. Yes, sir.
Pardon?
Yeah.
I just wanted to support the statement of yours and also Harila Prabhu. And if you look at the life of Srila Prabhupada, he was actually following so many, even Ayurvedic diet and these things, but he never made philosophy of it. It was always secondary thing which was somehow supporting his life. But what's happening with devotees in majority cases, that they take complete shelter. And astrology, they take complete shelter of Vastu, and then their whole life, whole philosophy, whole preaching is just based on this, and pure bhakti is secondary thing. So they switch actually.
Yeah. Actually, since you raise a very important point, because even Prabhupada's own life, if you read the final passage of Prabhupada gets a sapphire stone, he says, this saved my life, he says all these kind of things. So devotees sometimes use that as an example. Look, Prabhupada did these things. But one very important thing that we have to understand is, we are not supposed to do what Prabhupada did. We are supposed to do what he asked us to do. That is the meaning of a follower. Follower means one who does what is asked to do. Not that whatever the master does, the servant does. That is not the meaning of a follower. Follower means one who does what the master asks us. I mean, that's the meaning. The spiritual master has asked us. The founder Acharya, he has asked us, he has given us certain instructions. So we follow that instruction. Whether Prabhupada did that or not, that's not relevant to us. He may do it. He is a pure devotee. Why he did it, nobody knows. You may know, you may not know, it doesn't matter. But what are we supposed to do, that is what is important to us. So Prabhupada once gave the example that, when Prabhupada asked about Jesus eating fish, Prabhupada dismissed that argument because he was intensely fighting with Prabhupada. Jesus ate fish and all those things. Then Prabhupada said, all right, you do everything that Jesus Christ did, then you eat fish. So, if we do everything that Prabhupada has done, then maybe we can also wear a sapphire ring at the time of our death. But otherwise, we have to just follow whatever he asked us to follow. That's a good point that you asked us, that you brought it up. Okay. Anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.